Hey, Hidden Creek, welcome to our worship and teaching time. For today marks our 12th Sunday that we've not been able to gather. Next Sunday, June the 7th, the plan right now is to reopen our doors for worship. We'll offer two services. The state and local guidelines limit these gatherings to under 50 people, so we'll have two gatherings, one at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and the second from 11:30 to 12:30. Each service will be an hour long, leaving time for the first group to exit and the next to arrive. Please watch the Connections video for May the 31st for more details. You'll find that on our YouTube channel or on our Facebook page. Now, what's been going on the last 3 months has been marked with sadness and uncertainty. It's been made even more painful by the events that took place in Minneapolis on May the 25th. The unrest and the violence that we're now seeing in many parts of our country is such a disheartening exclamation point to really, really bad days. Now, our country desperately not only needs to know Jesus, but we need people, all of us, to act like him and truly discover him and follow him. In this present time, we live with this weird mix of friction and tension. Friction. The grinding of surfaces, the pressure that scrapes and grates and produces heat and frustration, forces that press us where we don't want to go and squeeze us in ways that we don't want to be squeezed and forces us into places we don't want to be. We've felt that way, haven't we? And then there's this strange tension that's all around us, tension that pulls us and stretches us, where friction presses us, tension pulls us. We experience tension when we have to decide how to spread ourselves out to do all the things the day requires and not having what it takes to get it done. We feel friction or tension from the pressure of time, bills, demands, and deadlines. You've felt those things, haven't you? Tension, pressure, celebration, sadness, health, sickness, gathering, isolation, justice, injustice, mercy, brutality. We can't escape the friction and the tension of life, but we can endure and thrive through it. I know we can. This is a consistent theme in Scripture. The key to enduring and thriving with the friction of these days and the tension that pulls us every which way is simply this: faith. With all the complexities of life and the demands of society, God has made it possible for us to be in an eternal relationship with him through simple and childlike faith, faith in Christ. This is the beauty of what we believe. This is the attractive pull of the gospel. Faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. Faith that he defeated sin and death when he rose from the dead. Simple faith rooted in the creative God of eternity. Belief that Jesus became the enough for our failings and shortcomings. Boy, that changes it all. You and I can endure and thrive in the friction and the tension of life. Will you allow me to walk through two passages with you really briefly this morning? Passages that define this kind of faith. Here's the first passage. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. This passage defines faith. Faith being this great confidence that bolsters us even though we can't see everything that's going on all around us. Faith is being certain, being sure, but not seeing. Now, none of us have seen Jesus, yet many of us have heard the good news about what he has done for us, and we are certain he is the Messiah. We've patterned our lives after his life, and we're confident that this good news about him is true. Not because we believe hard enough or project it into reality, but because we trust him, what he said about himself, and what he promises about our future. We place our faith in him. There was a man named Frank Burdett, and he built his home single-handedly 100 years ago. Now, his house was a huge Dutch colonial house with high arching angles. And the kicker is this: Frank Burdett was totally blind. He was a jeweler by trade and not a carpenter. He lost his sight after he was 50 years old, and 13 years later, at the age of 63, he began to build his house. He did all of his calculations mentally, and he carried out the completion of his plans with all the specifications merely by imaging those things in his mind. He remembered the progress of the structure, the various stages of development. He took 2 years to complete the house, but during that time, the people who watched him build thought that he had sight. He knew how much wood he had used and how much material he had left. He worked with ease on the roof and ease in the basement. People saw him as he reached for tools as if he saw them with his eyes. They thought for sure that Frank could see, but he was blind. He lived with certainty when he faced uncertainty, and he lived with a great confidence that his faith would lead him to a place where his home was complete. The word certainty that's used in Hebrews 11, verse 1, is a legal term. It's a term that would be used to describe a title deed to a piece of property. When we read God's word, we see that in the spiritual realm, a legal transaction has taken place when Jesus took our sins upon himself, when the price for our sins was paid by his death in the hours that he hung on the cross. We see from Scripture that the moment we place our faith in him, our lives are made right in God's eyes. When we place our hope in Jesus, we are in effect stepping into the promises that God has made to us. We're given a new start in life. He places his Holy Spirit within us. And we have with great certainty this faith that calls us to face whatever life may throw at us. Faith is doing the things that God has called us to do, even though we can't see everything around us. This kind of faith shapes our lives and determines our destiny. This kind of faith allows us to endure and thrive in spite of the friction and the tension that's in our lives. Well, let's look at the second passage. Here we see a faith that defines us and is defined as knowing Jesus and entrusting oneself fully to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we find this great statement about faith. 2 Timothy 1, verses 11 and 12. And this is the gospel, which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and teacher. This is Paul talking here. In verse 12, he says, "This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." In the friction and the tension of life, Paul knew that his very life was threatened because of what he believed and taught. Eventually, his physical life was snuffed out. He knew what it was like to be battered by fear and tempted to give up. He knew what it was like to be plagued by sickness and abuse because of who he was and what he believed. He knew, too, what it was like to entrust himself to Christ, his Redeemer and friend. When we entrust our lives into the hands of God through faith in Christ, we are committing to his care that which endures for eternity, our spirit, our soul. He is the only one to whom we can entrust the part of us that will last forever. To whom will you entrust this most treasured part of you? There was a California couple who was walking their dog in 2013 around their property, and they noticed something in the dirt. They kicked the ground around a bit and ended up finding 8 old cans. The metal was rusty and brittle, and as they moved the dirt, they wiggled the cans and opened them, and there they discovered 1,400 gold coins dated from the 1800s. Inside these cans was an estimated $10 million worth of gold. The steel cans were rusted and crumbly. They were wasting away, but the treasure inside remained shiny, more valuable than the day the coins were first minted. Now, in the friction and the tension of life, we will be pressed and we will be stretched. Our bodies will be crushed and they will fail. But that which we have entrusted to God in Christ, our very lives will endure. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Now, part of this faith is living with a bold confidence in Christ, even though we don't see everything all around us. Part of that faith is knowing, yet still trusting Christ. Are you feeling worn down and stretched thin? Are you feeling isolated and tired of the guidelines and protocols and the waiting? Hang in there. The end seems to be in sight. When I was a kid, I used to swim in a lake with my siblings and my cousins that was not far from my grandparents' house. It wasn't a very deep lake, but it was muddy and dark. The water was like chocolate milk. Now, the big challenge was to take a big breath of air and swim all the way to the bottom of the lake. Proof that you had been there was a handful of mud scraped from the lake bed. A quick turnaround allowed you to push off from the bottom. And as the light grew brighter, you knew you were getting closer and closer to the surface. It was always fun to let out all your air just below the surface, so that a big bubble of air would break the surface and your head would come up through the middle like some kind of swamp beast. In sixth grade, a friend of mine named Wynn Oaf invited me to go with his family on a rafting trip down a deep and clear river in the hill country of Central Texas. I remember the difference in the water clarity. Even in the deepest parts from the surface, you could see fish swimming below and you could see the flat, rocky bottom. We decided to go for a dive to see if we could touch the bottom. Boy, down we went. It was like being in a different world. It was the clearest natural water that I had ever been in. And through my blurry underwater eyes, I swam toward the bottom, grabbed a rock, and then leisurely floated toward the surface without kicking off the bottom. Slowly rising was like being in zero gravity. And as the water got brighter, I let out all of my air and I stopped rising. I looked up and could see the bubble breaking the surface about 8 feet above me, and all my air was gone. I then dropped the rock and frantically struggled to make my way back to the surface. The clarity of the water and my misplaced confidence nearly resulted in a very different outcome for my life. As restrictions and orders are being lifted, as things begin to brighten around us in regards to the pandemic, don't let your guard down too soon. Keep a little air in your lungs just in case. The surface might be a little further than we think. Now, for us as followers of Christ, the days ahead, good or bad, clear or murky, dark or bright, are to be marked by a deep faith and trust in Him. We are people who have placed our faith and trust in Christ. being certain of His promises in our lives, even though we haven't seen Him. We entrust ourselves fully to Him, and He calls us His own. And so let's meet the uncertainty of the days ahead with faith, trusting in the One who gave Himself for us, and let us live with a holy mix of courageous confidence and cautious humility. I'll see you next week.